you remain standing, if you will, turn to Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. We do have one birthday to celebrate this week. Gabriel Rickard has a birthday on Friday, and so we want to wish him a happy birthday and be in prayer for him on that day. Amen. That God might bless him in a special way on his birthday. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 18 is where I'm going to take my text this morning. I appreciate Brother Hall filling in for us on Wednesday night, and I heard that he did, as normal, a good job. Amen. He said he felt like he had liberty, and matter of fact, I was told that it seemed like that he had extra liberty, and so we're thanking the Lord for that. Amen. And I give God glory for it. Amen. Amen. And then I appreciate you praying for us. That was a long trip, but a good trip. We had a good time, and there's more fellows there than I expected, and met some new folks. And matter of fact, one man pastored, I believe he said, about 30 miles down the road, came in on Friday, the last day of the meeting. And what they did, normally they have three preachers each morning. They have a 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 11 o'clock service, preachers lined up. And then on Friday, they stop after that last preacher and head out. And so they asked me to be the last preacher on Friday. I was the only preacher on Friday. So I started at 9. We was out of there I was done before 10. We was out by 10:30 and headed down up the road. So thank God for it. Amen. And we got in that night about 8:30 or 9 o'clock, somewhere along there. And thank God for letting us be back home. Amen. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 16, the text that I want to read to you. Genesis 18, verse number 16, the Bible says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Now the text that I read to you does not use the word father, but we know Abraham as Father Abraham. And he is speaking about Abraham being a father, that he will command his children and his household after him. Amen. So I want to use this text this morning for a Father's Day message and preach on the father's leadership role in the family. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Amen. Well, the text that I chose, as I said, is dealing with Abraham, known as Father Abraham. But the text reveals to us one of the reasons why God respected Abraham. God's own words, we got it from the mouth of God Himself. He says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him." God knew something about Abraham that impressed him. He said that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Seems to me that God was impressed with Abraham, with the way that he would raise his children, with the way that he would direct his household, the way that he would order his household. When I say order, and we read the word command, it's not just a heavy-fisted command that he's talking about, or barking orders that he's talking about, although that may be entailed somewhat.
But it's just talking about that his household will not be chaotic. It'll not be it'll not be just a mess, but it'll be ordered. It will have some structure to it. He's going to structure his family in a way that it ought to be, and his household will be structured in a way that it ought to be. Now, I think about this, and I thought, you know, it's interesting that most of the women that we use when we preach on Mother's Day about the mothers, most of those women were barren. They couldn't have babies until God did a miracle. It bothers women more than it does men. But Abraham was barren. Abraham had no son. God said, I'm going to give this land to your seed. Abraham said, I don't have a seed. All I've got is this servant that's in my household. God not only chooses barren women to be mothers, God chooses barren men. Amen. To be fathers. Thank God. Here's what this is the point I'm making, that life is a miracle of God. It's not just a product of a male and a female. Amen. Life is a miracle of God. Amen. Amen. And by the way, if you do get distressed, I said most men don't, but some do. Abraham did. Abraham got upset that he didn't have a son. Matter of fact, you know the story. Abraham tried to help God out. Of course, it was under the advice of his wife. He tried to help God out, and it caused more trouble than help. Sure it did. But if you do get distressed in that, carry that distress to God. God's able to handle it. Amen. God's able to take care of that need, and that's what He does. We see it in the life of Abraham. We see it in the life of Hannah. We see it in the life of all these different women. You can just read through Sarah and different women in the Bible that we hold up as great mothers, and God gave them a child. Amen. He says in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 113, uses that phrase, who is like unto our God who maketh the barren woman the happy mother of children? Thank God. Amen. God has the ability to open the womb. God has the ability to give children into this world. Amen. And we're living in a day where they're killing them by the thousands. And yet they make it so hard for somebody to adopt a child. Amen. I'm not against adoption. My wife and I talked about it. We almost adopted a little girl after we thought, looked like we were through having children. We almost adopted a little girl and would have if it had worked out. And then there have been other cases since then. We've talked about that. Matter of fact, there's a little girl climbed up on Melissa's lap one night of the meeting this week. Little four-year-old little girl climbed up on Melissa's lap. We didn't know her name. Turned out her name's Evelyn. I told her, we got an Evelyn in our church. She's not big enough to crawl up on your lap yet. Well, she's big enough. She's just not tall enough. Amen. But I'm kidding. But anyway, this little Evelyn came, crawled up on Melissa's lap, told her daddy, she said, she's my friend. That's what she said. We found out little Evelyn's had two open heart surgeries before she's 4 years old. And that caused your heart to go out to her even more. But Melissa's holding her, and of course she's wiggly and all that. And you know how, I'm not talking about Melissa, I'm talking about the little girl. And you know how all that is. And Melissa said to me, she said, do you want to adopt a baby? I said, I'm thinking about it. Amen. You think about that, then you get to thinking, no, let's send her back to her mom and daddy. Amen. Amen. I enjoy being grandpa. Amen. But God's able to open that womb, or God's able to open the door, or God's able to bring those into your life, and that's what He did with Abraham. Amen. And God blessed Abraham that his posterity went on and increased. As a matter of fact, it was a blessing to the whole world. We know that Christ came through the lineage of Abraham. But can I say this about Abraham? I'm running up to my introduction. I'll get to my points in just a moment. Abraham was recognized by God as being a man of excellent character. A man of not just knowledge and ability, but a man of determination that his family, to the best of his ability, was going to be ordered after the things of God. He says that they may look at it in verse number 19. He says that his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord. They shall keep the way of the Lord. That doesn't mean guard it. but it means that they're going to stay on the path. They're going to stay after God. That's what God's plan was for Abraham, and that's what Abraham's plan was for his family, that they'll keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. I read where that one commentator said this, and if I told you his name, you'd know the name, but I'll leave it off for right now. This commentator said that phrase there, keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, deals with the two tables of the law. The first table talks about man to God. That's keeping the way of the Lord, he said. Then the second table, which by the way is talked about justice and judgment, that's what it's called, and many of the prophets talk about the justice and judgment, Israel doing justice and judgment, and it's not talking about to God, it's talking about man to man, as the second table of the law deals. And so what they're saying was, Abraham didn't have the law yet, Moses hadn't come along yet, amen. But Abraham's going to keep the law of God that he knows, he's going to walk in the way that he knows. But get this, Abraham did not grow up in a Christian home.
Right.
Abraham was not raised in a Christian family. Abraham's father was an idolater, according to the Bible. Amen.
Right.
Abraham grew up in Ur of the Chaldees, which apparently was a very wicked city. Probably every neighbor he knew worshipped idols rather than worshiping God. But somehow Abram, as he was known in those days, came to know God. Amen. He came to know God. Abram determined to build his home around the things of God. Abraham not only worshiped God on the Sabbath, but he honored God in his home. Amen. That's what God said was respectful about Abraham. Now, most of you know that the modern trends and fads of our modern society, I rail against them all the time because I do believe that it is producing effeminate men and boys and producing masculine women and girls. That's what we're producing in our society. It seems like every generation of men gets softer than the generation before them. I'm talking about myself. Amen. Get softer than the generation before them. And I rail against that, and I probably will today. Amen. I probably will. This will be another one of those times, just a little bit, when I think about it. But if society keeps going the way that it's going right now, where they're trying to merge male and female. You know, I heard this sometime back. They said, you know, the three steps of feminism that has come to modern feminism. The first step was, they said, we can be equal with men. The second step was, they said, we don't need a man.
Right.
The third step, now they say, we are men.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the day we've come to. And if that keeps happening, and there's a blurring of the distinction between male and female, there may come a day, and it may come in our lifetime, that we won't celebrate Father's Day or Mother's Day. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably right. Who knows what they'll call it? Who knows, you know, where they'll come along with that thing? But it's come to the time that we don't recognize, if we don't watch it, this modern trend is going to wreck these days that are special days. Thank God for your mother. Thank God for your father. Amen. Amen. And honor them. It's what the Bible says, that it may be well with thee. You stop honoring them, it's not going to be well with you. Amen. It's not going to be well with you. Amen. And I'm convinced some people have some problems because they dishonor or have dishonored their mother and father. And those things come, you reap, amen, you reap what you sow in that category. Amen. But our society has become so warped in the minds of the multitudes that they rebel against any authority. And mothers and fathers are the first realm of authority in a child's life. Amen. Before that child will ever learn to obey the law, the sheriff or the police officer, he's got to learn to obey mama and daddy. Amen. Before he ever learned to obey the teacher in school, if he goes to government school, he's got to learn to obey mom and daddy. Amen. By the way, if they don't obey the teacher in your homeschooling, then they're disobeying mama or daddy. Amen. That's right. They got to learn that somewhere along the line. They've got to be train that. Amen. And I could run a lot of rabbits, but I'm going to leave it alone. But let me just head on into my message. On Mother's Day, I preach a sermon entitled, Mama, the Creditor is Coming for the Kids. And I tried to not only warn mothers of the dangers that are out there, that we've got our head in the sand, we're like ostriches with our head in the sand, and our eggs and our nests built down on the ground where the Bible says something just come along and trample on them. Real easy prey. We got our head in the sand. I said, we better get our head out of the sand. Our children are in danger.
Right.
Amen. Our children are in danger. There is an enemy against our children. But I also said, we got a great avenue of prayer. Thank God. Mamas have a great power in the fact that they can get a hold of God. And I used that text where that woman went and prayed and went to the man of God. And he had her pour out the oil and it was sufficient, thank God, for the need. Amen. I want to use that same mentality, if I can, and use this thing about the father's role. All right, I tried to awaken not only to the responsibility of raising children, but the great power that is found in prayer.
Amen.
For children. Amen. And so we need to recognize that I believe there are demons out there lurking after our children. I believe they're coming in through video games. I believe they're coming in through movies. I believe they're coming in through magazines. I believe they're coming in through music. I believe they're coming in through other relationships, things that people are doing, perhaps through drugs and things that are opening doors. But there are demons that are lurking after our children. And then there are demons or devils or have you. There is evil, great evil, that is luring our children, trying to draw our children's attention and get them into temptation and into sin. Amen. Now, today I'm going to preach to the fathers. Mothers have great duties and great opportunities, but so do fathers. Mothers do have, in a sense, more opportunity than fathers because the father's out working. He's out of the home. Hopefully she's in the home. He's busy about everything else. He's not thinking about everything else. He's thinking about one thing. She's thinking about everything. All right. And so, maybe she sees things that he don't see. She sees opportunities and she sees problems that he don't see. But just like mamas have a great responsibility and a great opportunity, so do dads. Amen.
Yes,
as a matter of fact, when it comes to the judgment, God's not going to call the woman to give account. He's going to call the man. Amen. It's a line of authority. Brother, Brother LaRue Hill preached one night, Thursday night, and used this idea. He showed us in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 and Colossians chapter 2 and 3 how that whenever God's talking to man about his home, when God's saying how that we're to be related one to another, we say that second table of the law, how that he always starts with a lesser first. He starts with a wife and then the husband. He starts with the children, then the parent. He starts with the worker and then the master, servant and master.
Right.
He always starts with the lesser and moves to the greater. But when he's talking from God to man, he always starts with the greater, the one in the authority. He talks to the man. He talks to the husband. Amen. Before he talks to the wife. Amen. He talks to the parent before he talks to the child. He talks to the master before he talks to the servant. God always deals with that level of authority, and God gives that authority here to the man. The man is the husband, he's the father, he's responsible. He's the responsible party in the home. Amen. Now I'm going to try to show us from our text that Abraham was an example. That's what our text shows us. God used him as an example. God said to these other two that are with him, these angels that are about to go down into Sodom and going to rescue Lot and his family and get them out, and he's going to bring fire and brimstone down. God said to them, I'm not going to hide this thing from Abraham. I'm going to show Abraham what I'm going to do because I've got respect for Abraham. And his respect was the way that Abraham ordered his home. Amen. And so I'll say this, Abraham was not a perfect father, and neither will you be nor I. Neither one of us are perfect, but Abraham was held out by God as an example of how he organized his home. So let me say a few words about this. The father's responsibility, or the father's leadership role. That's the word, the father's leadership role in the family. Now, much can be said, but let me start with this. First of all, fathers should be teachers. Amen. Fathers should be teachers. Turn with me and we'll look at some scripture. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Couple of verses here. I'm gonna use a lot of Old Testament scriptures, and you say, "But preacher, that's Old Testament." Yeah, and so is Psalm 23. Amen. Amen. Every verse Jesus ever quoted in any sermon he ever preached was Old Testament. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse number 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But, look at this, teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me this the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days, and that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. You see that? Now, he doesn't specify fathers here. You say he could be talking to mothers and fathers, but he said you've got a responsibility to pass these things down to your children. Look at chapter number 6 and verse number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Amen. So he's saying here that fathers or dads, however you want to call that, have the responsibility of teaching their children. Dads cannot be deadbeats or delinquents and not expect to raise deadbeat and delinquent children. Amen. You dare not shift your responsibility to someone else. We dare not shift our responsibility to the quote-unquote public school. And I hesitate to call it that because I don't see it as being the public in charge of it. It's government school. Amen. And I'll just hit it while I'm here just a little bit. I'll just touch it. This thing about this government school system. They say, well, if you don't send your kids to public school, then how will they ever learn to socialize? They say they're going to miss out on socializing. Well, I used to say back home, I don't want my children to be socialists. And really, it's a joke, but it's not that much of a joke because you see what this society has raised, a bunch of socialists. But they say they got to be around these other people. In other words, if you want them to be able to be well-rounded, well-adapted, then they need to be locked up in a room with just children their same age. Amen. That they got to be taught all the same thing. And they gotta, you know, be inoculated from the rest. In other words, you're not letting them be well-rounded by shoving them off in a corner with just kids their same age. Amen. I believe they learn to be better socialized by learning to get along with brothers and sisters and mom and daddy and learning to work a schedule. Say amen right there. That, by the way, that's one of the most important things about homeschooling. It's not, and you do have great flexibility, but it's not just weebly wobbly. You have a schedule and they learn to live on a schedule. Amen. They learn to operate on a schedule. That way when the boss man says, I want you to be there at 6 o'clock, they say, all right, I'll be there at 6 o'clock. And they know how to do that. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let me get off of it. This idea about being teachers, we can't designate it to the public school. By the way, God didn't designate it to the public school, and He didn't designate it to the church. He designated it to the moms and dads. Amen. And so I believe we're responsible. Well, I say not only don't designate it to the public school, don't designate it to the grandparents, don't shift it off even to the wife. Amen. That's not saying that you've got that the husband has to be the homeschooler, because most of the time it is the mother because she's there with them. Amen. But the idea is, who's responsible of it all? Who is the responsible one? Dad is the responsible one. Amen. He's the one going to be called up into account when that day comes. Amen. Don't shift it. Say, so I say women have much which they can teach children. They have so much that they can teach children. But there are some things that only a father can instill. Amen. Some things only a father can instill. Those who do not have a father, an active father, are handicapped in that area. That's not to shame them. That's not to mock them. No way, not being said to hurt them. God does have an ability to raise up somebody as a father figure to be, a surrogate, somebody that can be there to be a help. Amen. Thank God for that. And I encourage you, seek that out if you don't have an active father in your life. Amen. One of the problems with kids today is the inactivity of the dads. Oh, he may still be in the home, but he's not really there. He's going about his business. He's not thinking about raising children. He's not thinking about the things of his home. Amen.
Right.
In so much of our society, the dad's not thinking about those things. Amen. And so God can raise somebody up. But I say that for this thing. Maybe it might awaken us, those of us that are unaware, or maybe those of us that have been unconcerned, that it might awaken us to the need and the responsibility that God has given us in this case. Amen. Mothers tend to be soft and tender, and children need that. Fathers tend to be strict and stern, and children need that. Amen. They need somebody to kiss their face and somebody to bust their rear end. I mean, they got two ends. They need somebody to work on each end. Amen. A.W. Pink said this. He said, Abraham did more than proffer good advice. He enforced law and order in his household. Amen. That is the role of the dad. I remember, I said it here sometime back, right before Dad came and preached on a Wednesday night. I mentioned that Mom would say, she'd say, don't make me call your dad. I knew what that meant.
Right.
Amen. Or we'd say, why can't we do this? So-and-so's getting to do it. She'd say, your dad said. That's the end of the story. No use to argue with that. Amen. She done pulled rank on us. Amen. It's more than Mom. Now it's Dad that said. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be. Dads ought to have the final word. Amen. It ought not be that Dad said, but Mom says, okay, let's circumvent that. No, you're pulling the dirt out from under the foundation. You're destroying the foundations when you do that. Amen.
Man,
I've seen it happen more than one. I can name homes that I've seen it in. And every case, there's been destruction because of that. Every single case.
Man.
Maybe he is a little too hard. Listen, when Isaac going to school, I'll just throw this in. This is extra, won't cost you a thing. This might help us go into overtime. I mean, everybody likes that overtime, right? Extra innings, that's wonderful. All right. When I was a kid going to school, if a teacher required too much, Mom and Daddy never thought it was too much. They never did. Matter of fact, I remember my first grade teacher, Mrs. Orsburn. It wasn't Osburn, it's Orsburn. That's the way it's spelled. O-R-S-B-O-U-R-N. I thought it was Osburn, but if you said it wrong, she said it's Orsburn. Anyway, she was strict. She'd pull your hand back and take a ruler, and I mean wear the hide off of your hand. And you thought that was terrible, unless that wasn't enough. Then she'd get the paddle out, wear the hide off of your hide. Amen. But she was strict. You didn't talk in her class. You didn't lollygag. You didn't mess around when, you know, she was real strict about that. And I remember going home and complaining about it. I remember my cousins complaining about it. Matter of fact, I remember one aunt complaining about it. Mom and Dad said, they're destroying the authority in their children's lives. And here's what Dad said. I remember it well. Dad said, son, you'll find that the teachers that require the most out of you get the most out of you. And the teachers that require the least get the least. Amen. And I found out, I looked back in high school, that my meanest teachers was my best teachers, to be honest with you. Amen. Most parents that are mean, when the kids grow up, they learn that mom and dad wasn't mean. Mom and dad loved me. They wanted the best for me. But the parents that were lenient, they wasn't really loving parents like they thought they were. They couldn't care less how their kids turned out. God said about Abraham, he's going to order his household well. And I don't see Abraham being a heavy-handed man. That's not the point I'm saying. But when dad is a little too severe, mom might can talk to him about that in private, but not before the children. Amen. And never talk to the children about that, because you'll be destroying their confidence in the leader God put in front of them. Amen. Amen. I believe I can show you all through the Bible. But God pointed out the fact that Abraham would teach his children and his family to walk after God, the way of God. He's going to lead them to walk after God. And that is the principle that we need in the homes. We need dads to find out the will of God. Amen. Dads to find out. And I'll just plug that again. I remember when Danny Dawson, his wife Paige, was going to start that girl's home. I remember Paige saying that in missions conference. She said, "You wouldn't believe how many people asked me in missions conferences, when did you know this was God's will for your life?" She said, "I don't know how to answer them. When did I know? When did God tell me?" I said, "Tell them when He told your husband. That's when you knew it was God's will for your life." Amen. 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 I'm not belittling my wife, but you didn't call her to pastor this church.
Right.
You called me. Amen. And you know when she knew it was the will of God? When I realized it was the will of God. That's right. It wasn't the will of God for her to stay in North Carolina and me to come up here.
Right.
Amen. Amen. It wasn't the will of God for her to come up here and me to stay in North Carolina. It was the will of God for us to be together. But the husbands don't need to ask the wife, "What do you think the will of God is?" You need to seek God and find God and then walk in the way. And if she's following God, she'll follow you. Amen. If she's following God, she'll say, "Amen, let's do this for the glory of God." And the children will follow along with us. Amen. Abraham, find the will of God. Lead them in that direction. Dad's finding the will of God. Walking in it. By the way, not just telling us, showing us. Showing us the will of God. Telling us and showing us how to walk in the will of God. Amen. Not just that dad knows, but that dad can show us how we can know. Amen. I believe it's important that fathers work and provide housing and clothing and nourishment and all these necessary things for their children. That's needed. Amen. It's a shame that you've got to preach on that today. Some fathers think their job is to play video games. Amen. Some of them think their job is just to, you know, whatever they want to do, just enjoy life and wonder. No, your job is to work and labor and provide for your family. Amen. But the most important thing for a child is not the clothes that he wears, not the roof over his head, not the food on his table. Most important thing for a child is finding the will of God. Amen. Coming to know God. And that is the most important thing a father can show to his children. Amen. I say boys need to be taught to defend themselves. Amen. They need to be taught to clean up after themselves. Amen. I could say a lot. I have gone to sinks in the past, not in my house, been to somebody's house, going to maybe in a somewhere I was staying, and go there to shave and the sink be full of old toothpaste, old dried up toothpaste, old dried up shaving cream. Yeah. Shame on the man that was there before me. Amen. Amen. Now, whenever I spit toothpaste in the sink, or whenever I shave and wash out my razor in the sink, you know what I do? I clean up the sink. Amen. Not because my wife expects me to. No, my mama taught me to do that. Amen. I learned that in the home growing up. Amen. And my wife taught it to our children. That's the way it ought to be, by the way. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. They learn to defend themselves, learn to clean up after themselves, learn how to mow the yard properly. They need to learn that. Amen. You may have to tell them, don't blow the grass against the house. Or don't blow the grass out into the road. It could be dangerous to a motorcyclist or somebody coming through there. Or maybe your mama be driving. It'd be dangerous. I'm kidding. Don't blow it out. You maybe got to tell them how to do, and maybe you got to show. Those things are important. But can I say to you again, mostly important is that they come to know God. Amen. That they know that they can trust this book. That they know they can trust prayer to God. Amen. I believe it's important that a young man learn how to aim and fire a weapon.
Amen.
It's important that a young man learn how to work a job. But most important that they learn how to listen to God. Amen. To discern right from wrong. Can I say to you, fatherhood's not an easy task. It's not easy. There are times when you need to be tender. And then there's times when you need to be stern. And sometimes it's hard to know which one's which. Amen. I put this note in here this way. Every disobedient action of your child does not need to be dealt with an atomic bomb. Amen. Sometimes just a stern talking to. Just a straightening out. Amen. But then there are other times when drill sergeant dad needs to show up. Amen. So I'm saying we'll have to pray. We'll have to seek God. Ask God, Lord, help me in this thing. There's no manual that you can go by other than the King James Bible. And for every individual case and every individual thing, you have to ask God. And children need to learn. They're going to have to ask God for leadership, but they can, and they can trust God in those things. Amen. Number one, fathers should be teachers. Number two, fathers must be taught. Before you can tell somebody something, you've got to learn it yourself. Notice that Abraham was not expected to make it up as he went along. I mentioned to you that he didn't grow up in a Christian home, but he did know God, and he walked with God, and he spent time with God. Abraham was a man known for building altars. Amen. He was a man known for communing with his God. Amen. So, Abraham was not to just make it up as he went along, but Abraham was to talk to God himself. Abraham was to walk with God himself. Abraham was to learn of God himself. Then he could pass it on to his children. Amen. Learn those things. We like to quote Joshua 24:15, the latter part of that. As for me and my house, but the me comes before my house does.
Amen.
Amen. As for me, I'm going to walk with the Lord. And then I'm going to see that my house does. Amen. Fathers not only need to be teachers, but they got to be taught. We got to have a personal relationship with God ourselves. That's the point I'm making. Amen. Amen. So I say this, Dad, it'll be hard for you to convince your children to be faithful to Bible reading if they never see you reading it. Amen. It'll be hard to teach your children the power of prayer if they never see you pray. It'll be hard to get them to be faithful to attend church if you're not faithful in church attendance. Most likely what you put emphasis on, they may as well. If you have a certain ball team that's your favorite, it's amazing how likely it is to be your son's favorite as well.
Right.
If you have a race car driver that's your favorite, it's amazing how likely that is to be your son's. Amen. I'm glad to see Philip breaking off from that old Chevrolet routine. Amen. I'm kidding. I congratulate him again. Amen. But, and that is a joke, but usually what you love as a father, your children will love, at least to some degree. They'll have a great tend to go that way. Now, we're living in a day when the children don't spend much time with Dad. They spend more time with others, and they may adopt those things from others. But I'll say again, it ought not be that way. But the thing is, we ought to show them how much we love God, how much we love the things of God, and that ought to cause them to love the things of God as well. Amen. Amen. I say this, I'm hurrying. Your family does not need just a list of rules, do's and don'ts to live by. They don't need a list They need to see a life. Amen. I say that again. They don't need a list. They need to see a life. You, as a dad, need to have a personal relationship with God, as Abraham did. And then teach your children to walk with God as well. Amen. Amen. Abraham was not going to tell his sons about sacrificing and living separate from the rest of the world without sacrificing himself and living separate from the world himself. Amen. Abraham wasn't to tell them that we're doing this because it seems good to me. No, he says we're doing this because this is what God said. This is what God required. Why are we wandering around here, Dad? Why are we not living in the city like all these other people are? I'll tell you why. Because God called me out of that city and God told me to go this way. That's what Abraham was to say. Amen. Why don't we go to the liberal church down the road? Because that's not where God's at. We want to follow God. Amen. You ought to have God's word on it. You ought to have God's leadership on those things. Amen. Perhaps I'm preaching to some that you don't have the same convictions as God's word does. I'll say to you, first of all, you ought to ask God to help you not be satisfied living on such a low level. You ought to ask God to help you to be dissatisfied with that low level living and want to gain the standards and convictions that this Bible has. Amen. And then you need to stand on them and pass them down to your children. I do believe that. Amen. Amen. Well, I say this. Abraham did not have a Bible or a preacher or a local church. And yet somehow he came to know God. He came to know the will of God and he taught it to his children. You and I are without excuse. We got a complete Bible. We got a pastor and we got a local church. Amen. We have all those things. Can I say to you, Dad, y'all take full advantage. Don't neglect those things. But don't neglect the personal relationship with God. Amen. Isaiah 38, verse 19. I'll just read it to you. The Bible says, The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Father passing it on to his children. Amen. Number three, my last point. Not only fathers should be teachers and fathers must be taught, but let me say number three, fathers have somewhere to turn. Fathers have access to the throne of grace. Notice in our original text in Genesis 18, we see in this text that God knew something that Abraham didn't know. God knew what he was fixing to do down at Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know how in the dark Abraham was as to what was going on at Sodom and Gomorrah. Because the Bible tells us almost as soon in Genesis 13 as it says that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom, it says, but the men of Sodom were exceeding wicked sinners before God. It sounds to me like maybe there might have been a reputation for the wickedness. Amen. Like, for example, I've never been to New Orleans, but I don't want to go, especially during Mardi Gras. Amen. I've never been there. I've just heard tales. That's bad enough. Amen. I preached a revival in Picayune, Mississippi one time years ago. We thought about driving in, and I'm telling you, and you can believe whatever you want to, I felt as if there was a bad spirit right there just getting close to the city limits of New Orleans. I didn't even go in. I wanted to keep my family out of that. We went back to the tent, the revival meeting where we was at. Amen. Amen. I figure that Sodom had a reputation. Gomorrah had a reputation. Abraham might have known something about the wickedness down there, but he didn't know that God's fixing to destroy it. And God said, I know something Abraham doesn't know, but God said, I'm willing to tell Abraham. Amen. We'll have to admit there's a lot of things we don't know, but we can find the information we need at our Father's house. Amen. We can find the information we need from our God. Amen. If we would be honest, we'd recognize there's many things we don't know. There's a lot of things people in the past knew that somehow failed to get passed down to us. Amen. We don't have that information. But we've got a God that lived in the past and is alive in the present. He's ever living. Amen. He ever liveth. That's what the Bible says about our Lord. He ever liveth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We can get the information we need from Him. He's able to tell us what we need to know if we'll humbly seek knowledge from Him. I believe that. Amen. Amen. I believe that God loves for fathers to approach Him with their problems. Amen. When Abraham called on God on behalf of his sons, you remember Abraham prayed for Ishmael. He prayed for him. Oh, that thou wouldst bless him. Bless him, he said. Ishmael, rebel that he was, Abraham prayed for him. God didn't fuss at Abraham for praying for Ishmael. God was honored when Abraham prayed for Ishmael. Amen. You remember in the Scripture, when there's more than one occasion, but for example, in Mark chapter 5, when Jairus came to the Lord on behalf of his little daughter that was laying sick, nigh to death. Later on, she did die. We know that story. When Jairus came to our Lord did not discourage Jairus. Our Lord did not turn away Jairus. Amen. Our Lord encouraged him. Matter of fact, when they came, said, it's too late. Don't bother the master anymore. Our Lord encouraged him to hang in there and believe God. Amen. God's honored when a dad turns to Him. Matthew chapter number 17. Our Lord's been up on the mountain. We know the Mount of Transfiguration. Just been transfigured. Been up there talking to Elijah and Moses. Peter, James, and John been with them. Down on the bottom of that mountain, or down at the base of that mountain, a man's brought his demon-possessed son. By the way, I believe there's demon-possessed people today. And I believe there's more and more young children being demon-possessed today than ever before. Just like there was in the day our Lord's first coming, there will be in the day of our Lord's second coming, I believe. And I believe there's, if the devils could get to them as little children then, he can get to them now. Amen. You can scoff and mock and make fun of, but I'm telling you, the cartoons that's going on out there, pumping that filth, that all that sorcery, all that witchcraft and wickedness that's in there, amen, it's just opening doors. And I can talk about a lot of things there. But that man had that demon-possessed son down at the base of that mountain. And our Lord didn't hesitate to go down there. And when that man called on the Lord rebuked his disciples, but he did not rebuke that dad. Amen. He rebuked the disciples. He said, "Thou," I don't remember how he said it, but this generation, he said, "How long shall I suffer this generation?" And he's talking to his disciples that were not able to cast out the devil. He said, "This kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting." You know what he did? He gave them a secret so that they could work the next time when they needed that to work for them. Amen. But I'm just simply saying Jesus did not stay in the Shekinah glory. He is willing to come out of the Shekinah glory, if you can say it that way, to deal with a dad with a demon-possessed son. I'm glad our God in heaven, He's up in glory enjoying the worship of angels, but He also loves to hear a dad call out to Him about a child in need. Amen. He loves to hear a dad call out to him for some direction. Amen. I'm convinced that the problems, most of the problems that are in our world today, can be laid at the feet of men. I don't blame women for it. I blame men. You might think I blame women. You might think I'm a chauvinist. I don't think I am. I don't lay the blame at men's feet. Amen. I don't think women ought to be in the military. I don't believe it's their place to be in the military. I believe it's a shame that we allow women in the military. Amen. But it's a shame that men don't step up to the plate and be the leaders they ought to be. Amen. Let me get off of that. I don't lay the blame at the feet of the women. I lay the blame at the feet of men. But I'm telling you, all this blame that we feel at our feet, you know what we can do? We can take it to the feet of the Savior.
Amen.
We can say, "Lord, this is a load too much for me to carry. Lord, this is too big a responsibility for me." Amen. You dads, Brother Jim there holding little Evelyn now. You dads remember when they laid that little baby in your hand, Brother Jacob? They lay that baby in your hand, and the first one, that first day you lay eyes on that little child that is yours, all of a sudden you realize the responsibility, the weight, not the heaviness of the child, the weight of the load, the responsibility is laid on you. Amen. And it don't stop with the next one or the one after that. Or the, maybe the realization don't sink in so much. Maybe they get up, they get grown, and they're out on their own. And we don't have the ability to make a lot of things. But I'm telling you, that weight is still on our shoulders. That weight's still on our heart. That burden is still upon us that we want to see them excel. We want to see them do good for the glory of God. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. I tell you what we can do. We need to be teachers, and we must be taught. But we have somewhere to turn. We can go to God and say, Lord, would you help me? You know what that man said when Jesus said to him about his demon-possessed son? He said, if thou believest, all things are possible. Believest thou this? And that man said, I believe. But then he said, Lord, help mine unbelief. That's where we ought to be. Lord, I believe you. I'm going to follow you. But help me when I stumble. Help me where I fail. Help me in the little areas that maybe I don't see that I need help in. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. Preach to the fathers. The father's leadership role in the home. If the Lord spoke to you this morning, whether you're a father or not, especially fathers, and you need to come and ask God for help. Whether you, maybe you're not a father, maybe you're a son, maybe you're a mother. Maybe you're a child, a sibling, whatever. If God spoke to you, you'd like to come pray. There's room. There's need. It's not just our children need our prayers. I've got a brother and a brother-in-law that need my prayers. I've got nieces and nephews, not just my children. I've got folks here in the church. I got neighbors and family and friends that need my prayer. They need to see me like they saw Abraham walking with God. They need to see that in me and you. Lord, help us attain to that position. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Abraham as the great example. Lord, help us be an example to our children. Help us present Christ unto them and the way of God. Help us, dear God, to do our best to order our home in a way that they will guard the way of the Lord. Keep the way of the Lord. That's the way you said it. Lord, that they might do justice and judgment. Be good citizens. That they might get saved by the grace of God in an early age. And dear God, you might receive glory and honor. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing, and as we sing, if you need to come, would you obey the Lord?